Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to our hearts. Let's just bow briefly in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee that thou art a God of grace, a God of peace. We thank thee for that day when that peace flooded our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for every blessing that has come from thy hand. We pray that thou wouldst take the words that we've read, the words that have been learned, and Lord, hide them not just in our minds, but hide them in our hearts. We pray that there might be manna to our souls, strengthening us when we face the trials of life. And so, Lord, we pray that even as we meditate briefly upon thy word, that thou wouldst give us understanding, and that thou wouldst, by thy Spirit, apply thy word even to our hearts. Lord, I need thy help. Bring to my mind what thou would have us to say. For, Lord, I pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. This, as you are aware, is one of Paul's many prison epistles. Although written chained to a Praetorian sentinel, he was permitted to receive gas. According to tradition, among those whom he received was the Stoic Seneca, the poet Lucas, and the famous philosopher Epictetus. However, taking up his pen, rather than mentioning these influential individuals, he immediately begins to bless God. The word bless here comes from the word from which we get our English word eulogy. While the first part of the word means well or good, the second part means to speak. And as such, it literally means to speak well of. For example, if you were asked to give a eulogy at a funeral service, you would be expected to speak words of praise concerning the deceased person. And as such, to bless someone means to praise or to speak well of them. In verse 2, Paul, having considered the grace and the peace of God, he then in verse 3 begins to bless or to praise God. Considering his grace, considering the greatness of his peace, he then begins to eulogize, or he begins to praise the God of heaven. You see, the secret to praising God is first pondering God. It is to consider his grace and his peace. Indeed, after the Savior's crucifixion, the disciples' whole world caved in around them. They, being deeply troubled, the Lord suddenly appeared before them, explaining his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. We read in Luke 24 and in the verse 53, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And considering the Savior's atoning death and his glorious victory, they then suddenly burst into praise. They lifted their voices and they began to praise the God of heaven. You see, if only there is a considering of God, there will then be a commending of God, an adoring and a praising of him. John Oakman, taking up his pen, he wrote, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly. and you will keep singing as the days go by. And he's stopping and considering the blessings that God had bestowed upon him. He then burst into song. Again, John Newton, taking up his pen, he wrote those words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And considering what grace had done in his life, considering how grace had cleansed him and changed him, he then wrote in the final verse, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And contemplating God's grace in his life, he then said that he would praise God, and he would praise God for all of eternity. If you say, preacher, tonight, but you don't know the day that I have had. You don't know the troubles that have fallen across my path. My, there's nothing in my life to praise God for this evening. But I tell you, child of God, if only you stop for a moment and only you consider his grace and you consider his peace and you consider what he has done for you in your life, then suddenly, my friend, praise will begin to bubble up in your heart. And you'll begin to praise God. And here Paul, considering grace and considering peace, the peace of God, he blessed God. He began to bless him. Let us take time in our lives to stop, to count our blessings. And if only we do, then we'll praise him. Blessing God, he then talks of the blessings of God. And I want to briefly consider those this evening. I want you to notice the season of this blessedness. While Paul had little in regard to this world's earthly goods, he said in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The word spiritual here could mean one of two things. It could mean that these blessings had come from the Holy Spirit. And while verses 11 through to 14 indicate that to be the case, yet they could also mean that he was talking here about spiritual blessings rather than material blessings. And in adding the phrase, in heavenly places, surely he was indicating that he was here, not talking about material blessings or physical things, but he was talking. He was talking about spiritual blessings. And in so doing, he places the word blessed here in the aorist tense, which indicates a completed action. And as such, he was not here talking about some blessing that God might give to them in the distant future, but he was telling them that God had already bless them. You see, it is not that the Lord will bless us, but it is that he has blessed us. He has already signed all spiritual blessings over to us. Indeed, the children of Israel coming to the banks of the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, telling him to take the people over into the promised land. He said in Joshua 1 and verse 2, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Although they were still on the wilderness side of the Jordan, the land was already theirs. In fact, it had been given to them centuries earlier. All they needed to do was to cross over and to walk or to claim the land. You see, we are not being blessed. We have been blessed. Even before the foundations of the world were set, he has given all blessings to us. You know, sat in the outskirts of London is Hampton Court. Its great hall is decorated with splendid tapestries depicting the story of Abraham. It was originally built by Cardinal Wolsey during the reign of King Henry VIII. And when it was finally finished, he made a big mistake. He invited the king to come and to see his lovely new residence. The king, casting his covetous eye upon it, he turned to Wolsey and he said, "This palace is fit for a king. I think you'd better give it to him." And Wolsey, valuing his head more than his home, he gave it to Henry VIII. At the cross, Christ gave us all spiritual blessings. They are already ours. Sometimes people lift up their hands in despair and they say, "I'm troubled, and what I need is peace." However, the Lord ascending into heaven, he said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, he has already given his peace to us. Others say, "I'm unhappy in life. What I need is joy." The Lord said in John 15 in the verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." He has already given us joy. You see, if we don't have peace or joy or assurance or strength or wisdom or guidance, it is not because God has not given them to us. They are already available. You see, instead of praying, "Lord, bless me," really we should be praying, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for blessing me." He has already given all blessings. He's purchased them. He's purchased them for us. If we do not have those blessings that we read of in Scripture, it's not because God is holding them back, but because we haven't claimed them. It's just like the children of Israel. They could say, "We didn't get parts of the land." It wasn't because God didn't give them the land. It was because they failed to walk it. They failed to claim it. My friend, he has blessed us with blessings. It's a possession. It's given to us. Reach out your hand. It is when you were saved, he gave you a key to his treasure house. And he said, "Go forth, open the gate." All these blessings are yours. Not only the season of this blessedness, we can be blessed, but notice the scope of this blessedness. Bringing them into heaven's treasure store, he said in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Underline the little word "all." It's so small, and yet it is so large. And by it he was indicating that in blessing them, that the Lord held nothing back. As if to emphasize this, the word "blessed" in the original language is placed there in the singular. And as such, it indicates a totality of blessing. In other words, all the treasures of heaven, without a single exception, have been given to them. Our inheritance tonight is not only old, it's opulent. In giving, he has given us all blessings. Indeed, reminding the Roman believers of their standing in Christ, Paul said in Romans 8:32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" He had not only given to them justification and adoption, but all things. In fact, emphasizing this, the psalmist said in Psalm 84:11, "No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And he was reminding them that nothing that was good for their souls had been held back. To Does the psalmist not in another place lift up his voice and say, daily, daily, the Lord loadeth, the Lord loadeth. He presses me down with blessings. Not only has God freely forgiven us all things, but he has freely given us all things. There is not a promise nor a possession that he holds back from us. In Queensland, Australia, the Mount Morgan gold mine was one of the richest gold mines in the entire world. And yet for many years, the people that owned that bit of ground lived in poverty. If we live in spiritual poverty, it's not because God has not blessed us. It's not God's fault. All blessings are freely beneath our feet. Sometimes people will come to you and they will say, oh, brother, tell me this. Have you got the second blessing? Let me tell you, child of God, God has not only given us a second blessing and the third blessing and the fourth blessing, but he has given us all blessings. All blessings. How good is the God that we serve? He has given them all without exception. Oh, believer, why are we living in poverty? Why are we living as it were as down and out spiritually? When God has blessed us, given to us all blessings, oh, let us enter into them. Let us possess them. Not only the scope, but we notice the source of this blessedness. Setting these treasures before them, he then added, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That little phrase, in Christ, is one of the Apostle Paul's favorite expression. It, or the equivalent, appears some 164 times in his writings. And while they are here, placed at the very end of the verse, yet they are pivotal. Central to it. In fact, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, if you leave out the words in Christ, you will never have any blessings. And by them, he was reminding them that while all these blessings were available, they were only available in or through Christ. Christ is the only mediator of the covenant. It is through him we receive blessedness. Indeed, Paul reminding Timothy this truth, he said in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he reminded Timothy that not only was there only one mediator, but that that one mediator was the Lord Jesus Christ. All blessings are stored in Christ. It is only as we come to him that we receive those blessings. We're living in an uncertain day. And maybe you feeling the uncertainty, you say, I better take all those notes that I've hid under the bed and I'll take them down to the Ulster Bank tomorrow. And you could gather up all your money and you could take them down and you could put it into the Ulster Bank. But the next day you may feel I want to buy something, or you feel it's not safe there, it's safer under the bed. My friend, there'll be no point in you going to the Northern Bank. You put it into the Ulster Bank. You will never find his joy. You will never experience his peace in the world or the things of the world or in religion. Only in Christ. It is only as we come to him. It is only as we rest in him. It's only as we sit at his feet that we can know this blessedness. Oh, how we rob ourselves because we're so busy. My friend, what blessings, and they're in Christ. They're in Christ. Then lastly, I want you to notice the situation of this blessedness. The end of the verse 3 says, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The phrase in heavenly places appears five times in this one letter, and only in one other place. If you look closer, you'll discover here that the word places is placed in italics. And as such, it is not in the original, but it was put in by the translators to give ease of reading. And as such, it could be read in the heavenlies. The reference here is to the third heaven, which is the realm that God dwells in all his majesty and in all his glory. And as such, he was reminding these Ephesians that while they were dwelling in earth, while they were dwelling in Ephesus, they were positionally not only in Christ, but in the heavenlies. Positionally, not only the treasures, but that was their home, in the heavenlies. You see, our citizenship is not here. It's in heaven. And as such, we are but strangers and pilgrims here. Indeed, reminding the Philippians of this, Paul said in Philippians 3, verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." The word conversation there does not refer to what we say, but to who we are. It could be rendered citizenship or commonwealth. In other words, he was reminding them that their citizenship was not here on earth, but it was in heaven. While we live in this world, we're not to be living for this world. We are foreigners in a foreign land. The hymn writer, realizing this, he said, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Believer, we're foreigners in a foreign land. And as such, we ought not to feel too much at home in this world, because it is not our home. In recent days, recent years, we've had the influx of people into the United Kingdom from all over the world. If you were listening to the news today, you would have heard many times over of new legislation coming in to try and to stop the boat people coming into England. And flooding in from other parts of the world, we have found new shops springing up in our towns, and they're selling food that we never saw before, food that we never tasted before. You walk down the street of Lurgan, tomorrow, and you'll hear different individuals, and they're all speaking different languages. And just as they eat other types of food and talk in other languages, so we, being foreigners in this world, we should be feasting on the food of heaven. And we should be talking the language of heaven. We're here, but our citizenship is in heaven. We're in heavenly places in Christ. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. You take a plant and put it in a dark, cold cupboard and leave it there for a few days. Bring it out and you'll discover that its leaves are withering and fading. And if you want it to live, you need to bring it out into the light, and you need to bring it into the warmth. And if we are to survive in a dark and cold world, we need, through prayer and the scriptures, to breathe in the very atmosphere of heaven. Oh, believer, take time to feast upon the word of God. Take time to commune. This world is not our home. It's not our home. We're in heavenly places. Our treasures are there. Our citizenship is there. When Queen Victoria learned that she would one day become queen, she said, "I will be good." Her life and her language were controlled by the fact that one day she was going to be queen. We're citizens of heaven. Therefore, we need to act. We need to live. We need to talk as citizens of heaven. Oh, child of God, how blessed we are tonight. How good is the God that we serve? He has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We don't need to be spiritually running in rags. There is all blessings. All blessings. Perhaps even as we come to prayer tonight, you say, well, it's hard to pray. Hard to bless God. Hard to lift him up. Then, my friend, like Paul, consider grace, his peace. Begin to count your blessings. And you'll find that prayer then isn't hard. And the words will begin to flow. Let us even bless his name. He has blessed us. Let us therefore bless him, even as we come to prayer this evening.